You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, Southern Cross released a national health and wellbeing survey that looks into mental, social and physical health, both before and after the lockdown. The study was done by Colmar Brunton and will be conducted every 2 years as a bit of a check-in on New Zealanders' wellbeing. Felix Walton spoke to Southern Cross Chief Medical Officer Dr. Stephen Child about the survey.
So this survey, it's going to be an ongoing, recurring study, is that right?
Yes. So what Southern Cross did basically is we asked Colmar Brunton to assist us with an independent poll. We surveyed about 3,000 New Zealanders, and our plan is to do that every 2 years to get an idea of what is important to New Zealanders about their health and well-being.
So what was the rationale behind starting a survey like this now?
Well, we actually started it back in October, so it was well before the COVID. And because Southern Cross deals with over a million Kiwis, which is one in five New Zealanders, we thought we wanted to work alongside with them to try and improve their health and well-being. And the question was, well, what does health and well-being mean to them? And that should be our starting point. And so that's why we commissioned the survey end of last year.
Yeah, so I was going to say this is quite a prudent time to start a study like this, because not long after you started it, I mean, one of the biggest health crises in the world happened. So how were people's physical and mental health affected by COVID and the ensuing lockdown?
Yes, it wasn't our original intention, basically, to look at the effect of lockdown, but that was just a natural experiment opportunity for us. So we'd surveyed 1,000 people roughly in October last year, another 1,000 people in March this year, and then we took the opportunity at the end of April, which is just the end of level four, to sort of survey them again. And what we found, actually, in comparing is exercise, for example, increased 37% up to 41% of people feeling that they were getting enough exercise during lockdown. Sleep improved, went from 46% up to 61% of people felt they got enough sleep. And loneliness actually decreased. It decreased from 38% of people feeling lonely down to 30% lonely, which is quite interesting.
Do you know why that is? Why did loneliness decrease?
Well, obviously, the difficulty with all of these surveys, remember, is we've surveyed, say, 3,000 New Zealanders out of, 5 million of us, basically. And so we're always talking about an average of the results. But what has to be remembered is inside that average of 1,000 people, there were some people that were truly suffering and are truly going through a difficult time. And that needs to be acknowledged before we start to say that all of New Zealanders were happier and all of New Zealanders were less lonely, etc. So that would be my first caveat to the statistics. But the answer possibly lies in social connectedness. We as humans all want to be connected to our community and connected to others. And what we actually found in the statistics is a lot of us don't feel connected. And so, you know, 55% of millennials, if you like, or people age 18 to 29 anyway, 55% felt that they were happy with their social relationships, but only 32% felt that they were connected to their community, and 51% felt they were lonely. And so the loneliness probably comes from the lack of community connectedness or social connectedness.
In particular, I'm quite interested in some of the impacts that this had on younger generations. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Well, that is interesting. I mean, so for the numbers we were given, they weren't necessarily related to lockdown. So before lockdown, 38% of people reported feeling lonely. During lockdown, only 30% of people felt lonely. But most of that reduction did occur in elderly people, not in the age 18 to 29 group. So, I mean, clearly, I need to be careful here. We're all generalizing from statistics that we can see. But logically, you would think the 18 to 29-year-old age group, and in particular university students, were disconnected from their classrooms, their friends, from their interpersonal relationships, plus that they would have worries about school, future, and direction. Which would just heighten the overall concern that all Kiwis had felt.
One of the things that really stood out to me in the report was also this statistic of university students being much less likely to seek professional medical advice. Do you have any theories as to why that is?
Yes, well, that was actually true. The younger people are, the less they are to seek medical advice is sort of a general rule that's been found in many studies, even of virtual health and telehealth usage as well. So I think part of it is that the younger generation is more able to access technology for a start. Possibly as well, the younger generations are less... If I may say, enamored of the traditional medical professional as the trusted source of medical information. So trusted sources now to the younger generation come from a variety of sources, so things have changed. But when we ask the barriers to improving things and accessing healthcare, cost was actually listed as the number one. 38% of people listed cost as the barrier to access help. Next, the biggest one was time. Time themselves to actually get off to see someone, then the timing of the availability of people to see, and then the waiting times if you did go to see someone were the top four barriers that people were describing in general for accessing help.
Yeah, something that we really need to touch on is this massive barrier of cost that's preventing a lot of people from seeking healthcare. How does a private medical provider like Southern Cross begin to address an issue like that?
Well, I think we're going to probably start at the idea of the social connectedness. So, as I say, we have 1 in 5 New Zealanders as part of our society, and we want to work with them. We want to work alongside them to help them with their health needs. So step one was asking them what are their health needs and what is important to them. And now we'll probably start to look at some tools of health navigation, support in education. We already get 3 million hits per month to our health library on medical information, but maybe looking at access around there and other ways to ensure people can easily access healthcare is probably where we're going to go from this data.
Another part of the survey that really stood out to me is the section on stress. And I mean, the data shows that the proportion of people reporting that they were stressed actually went down slightly during the lockdown, which I think is quite interesting because anecdotally, a lot of people have said that they felt more stressed. So do you have a theory as to why the data is so different to what some would expect?
Well, again, it comes down to, so we've surveyed 3,000 people out of 5 million. We asked Colmar Brunton to do it, so it was an independent survey, and they tried to ensure that they had an adequate representation across New Zealand of both regional age groups, cultural, ethnicity. They tried to ensure that they had an appropriate representation. But it could be, obviously. I mean, if you survey 3,000 people, then the number that are age 18 to 29 is probably going to go down to something like 200 or 300 or something, and then you get into pretty small sample sizes. So you might get small, different results than what you would expect when you're chatting away to your friends. But at the same time, again, stress did reduce. It reduced by 21% overall as an average to lots of people. And I think for a lot of working people anyway, there was less commuting time. There were more time with family. There was more time to exercise. There was more ability to cook from scratch. Again, it was a generalization on the average. Some people are really hurting during this crisis, and it's ongoing, so we shouldn't negate that.
It seems as though mental and social health is becoming much more of a visible issue, particularly among young people. Do you think you could elaborate on some of the findings in that respect?
Yeah, well, that was actually quite interesting. We also asked everyone, well, what are your overall concerns about health and well-being going forward? And the number one was cost of living. But the number two was domestic violence, and the number three was mental health, and the number four was suicide rates, and the number five was addictions and substance abuse. So interestingly, 4 out of 5 were mental health issues or some former mental health related issues, and which isn't actually surprising. If you look at the international evidence on health burden on health in general, usually mental health makes up 40 to 50% of the total health burden of any population studied or country. One of the most surprising and sad statistics for us is that 1 in 10 Kiwis described themselves as unhappy, 1 in 25 felt that they were stressed, and 49% of Kiwis didn't feel that they were happy with themselves or they weren't good enough. Almost half of New Zealanders expressed that they didn't feel good enough about themselves, which is a sad statistic and a worrying statistic, and I think it stresses the need for self-compassion, care for oneself, not self-esteem, which is slightly different, but self-compassion about caring for oneself and then caring for others.
That was Felix Walton talking to Dr. Stephen Child from Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.